Good afternoon, and welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean, and I'm delighted to be with you in the great expanse across this nation with Republic Broadcasting. We reach many of you. We would be delighted to hear from you. We need the strength from the citizens to continue to do what people are doing. I am extremely saddened the last 2-3 days. I just feel so sad, more than ever before. I'm sharing that with you on air because I need to feel that you are out there and that you would share your emotion over these events. And if you have a different take, enlighten me, because I would love to lighten my load. Dr. Michael Kaufman, how can people set up some, maybe a get-together or friends and neighbors and have them come and view your DVD? I need to know an address where they might be able to write and get one if they're still using mail services, and or if you have this website that they can go and get the information that they need.
Well, you can call us at our 800 number, our toll-free number at 877-271-7639, or you can go to globalwarmingclassroom.info, globalwarmingclassroom.info, or you can write us and send the check for $18.50, that includes shipping, to Sovereignty International. You don't even have to spell Sovereignty right. We'll get it. Sovereignty International. 6 Heather Road, Bangor, Maine. That's 6 Heather Road, Bangor, Maine. That's ME, short abbreviation, 04401. Again, that's $18.50. That'll cover your handling and shipping costs. And you can put this DVD in your hands and then start to show it to your neighborhood block parties or office conferences or whatever that you can put together to show multiple audiences. It is really ideally suited for doing exactly that.
Have you contacted parent-teacher associations or organizations such as that? Not yet.
We're really kind of reluctant to do so because so many of the parent-teachers associations have been taken over by the liberal left and the National Education Association, that if they get wind of what's happening before we get a majority of these things out, they may start passing school rules and so forth at the local district office or districts of school districts to prevent the teachers from even using these in their classrooms. If we can get into the teachers' hands, it meets all of the state requirements for science and so forth. You don't have to worry about that. But this is a political effort, remember. This is a political issue. And because of that, the NEA is going to try to block anything that would steer you away into the truth. They do not want our students to know the truth. Literally do not know it, want it. We have videos showing their internal works and so forth, how they are trying to actively block and put their own indoctrination into the classrooms to make the global citizen that is totally ignorant of reality when they graduate from high school. And therefore, we need to avoid any chance that they might have an effort or might get an opportunity to try to block this from getting into our schools.
So it's very careful in that regard, and that does make sense. I just know that I have grandchildren that are entering into junior high, and they are very convinced that maybe cows are bad. They've been taught that in school. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Returning to our topic with a very wonderful thought and music and trying to be positive, I'm going to ask a couple of questions here and maybe they'll set the stage. We left the top of the hour wanting people to understand that the United Nations is very, very much involved in this Kyoto Protocol and the global warming or climate change, etc. But did we hear about this kind of information, the concerns, prior to the summit in Rio in around 1992? Was this something that was discussed and I just didn't know it?
So the global warming issue, as well as many of the other issues, was the backbone of the 1992 Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit that we were very much involved in at the time and ultimately stopped at the 11th hour, if you recall. We've gone into this before. In 1994, the ratification of the Convention on Biological Diversity, because it was so horrifying. It's been planned by Maurice Strong, a Canadian industrialist, a multimillionaire, perhaps billionaire, who basically has controlled the international environmental movement since 1972, when he was the first Secretary General of the first Earth Summit in Stockholm, Sweden. So he has been very much involved in this. When you hear about these international treaties like we're looking at right now with this new emerging Copenhagen Agreement, realize that this is being controlled from every single direction. The conclusion of that has already been established. It's just a matter of now getting the countries to abide or to agree to it. And what we're seeing here is going to be reorganization of all the environmental organizations, special interest, socialist organizations, and a variety of other things, putting tremendous pressure on the various governments to accept this new language as the guiding language for establishing a new protocol in Copenhagen in December of this year. And as it always is, it'll be very onerous. It'll be couched in motherhood and apple pie, flowery type of language and so forth, that this is what the Earth needs to save it, save our lives, to save all the plant and animal life of the world and so forth, when in fact it's nothing more than politics. It is really nothing more than politics. And if you want to learn more about why it's nothing more than politics, get one of our two DVDs and learn why man cannot be causing global warming. It is not possible for man to be causing global warming, and yet that's all you ever hear about in the media as to how anthropogenic sources or man-caused sources like carbon dioxide emissions is causing catastrophic global warming. It's just not happening. It cannot happen from a purely physics standpoint. And if you have the facts, and these DVDs will show you those facts, you can go armed into any discussion and at least defend the position that man is not causing global warming, and perhaps open the eyes of some of your friends, neighbors, working colleagues, and family. And show the DVD around. Don't just keep it to yourself. Show it around. And if necessary, give it to your high school science teacher or your middle school science teacher. And if, or your congressman or your senators. And if you're going to do that and you want to make multiple orders, we'll give you a better discount on it.
Well, it certainly sounds like a positive approach and necessary. If there's sort of the idea that it's the in thing to be green, you know, kind of hard to. That's
understand.
Presented.
We need to understand. You know, you and I, when we first started to have me on your program, 10 years ago or so?
It's been a while now.
It has been a while. And we have to understand, we haven't discussed it much since that time, but we have to understand that the whole environmental movement is driven by this green agenda. And what do I mean by a green agenda? What I mean basically is a pantheistic agenda. What is pantheism? Well, pantheism is the belief that nature is God. Every one of the treaties that the United Nations puts out, every one of the agreements that we are asked to be signed and so forth, have as the underlying premise that nature's needs must come before human needs because, after all, nature is God. They don't put that language in it. But basically, it's always oriented where nature's needs or their perceived nature's needs comes before human needs every single time. And it's because they believe that nature is God. There is no other way around it. Now, that doesn't mean every environmentalist believes that. It doesn't even mean that every person that works for the Sierra Club and so forth knows that or means that. But what it does mean is the leadership, both in the foundations who fund the environmental organizations, the U.S. government, which funds a tremendous number of these organizations, has as this underlying belief that nature is God, and we need to understand that. Otherwise, we'll never understand what they're doing. Why would they want to impose something like the Covenant on Environment and Development, which is basically a legal system that has never been introduced because we stopped that too, that would put legal teeth into the belief that nature is God? This is right out there. It's been now been in print for well over 10 years. It's waiting for the opportunity. They thought they were going to get it in 2002. We stopped them there in Johannesburg, South Africa. It's just a matter of time before they get that document out and ready to be ratified by the individual nations. And once that happens, we are going to go back to the old witch doctor concept of that witch doctor can determine what can be done, when, where, and by whom. In every part of the world. It is literally astonishing what the ultimate goals of these environmentalists and many of our federal bureaucrats, and certainly most of your international bureaucrats, are attempting to do.
The other thing to consider also is perhaps some of these 183 nations that signed on to this earlier Kyoto Protocol come from a far different perspective as to what their country is like, what their development is like, and how this could be a boon to them as compared to a disaster for a developed country. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that's presented to those third world?
That's an excellent observation, Barbara Jean. A lot of the third world nations, like China, were trying to get the Kyoto Protocol rammed down the United States' throats because there was a tremendous economic advantage to them personally as a nation. As this new Copenhagen Agreement comes out, that may not be the case, and it was one of the reasons that many of the nations were very reluctant back in December of last year in Poland when they had the meeting, that they begin to realize that this has some downsides for them, too, because most of the first world nations are now of the agreement that the third world nations has to be a part of this process. Initially, with the Kyoto Protocol, they weren't. And that's why they have 180-some-odd nations that have signed on to this thing. It's because they had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And there was tremendous political pressure, bad-mouthing of the United States, George Bush, and so forth, of why he wasn't signing on, sending it to the U.S. Senate for ratification, and so because it would give them a tremendous advantage. Now, the advantage is kind of still there. If the United States, for instance, passes this legislation that Obama is recommending, then that $600-some-odd billion a year is actually probably going to be well over $1 trillion a year of income for the U.S. government in the form of taxes. Well, a lot of that will be going to the third world nations to alleviate some of the costs for them signing on to this accord. That's part of the purpose of doing this. In other words, we'll be paying for their, again, for no gain whatsoever, no climate gain, no personal gain, no gain for us, but tremendous gain for these third world nations. Except that a lot of the developing nations that have made tremendous strides over the last 15 years and are realizing some really economic benefits of capitalism. Now, when I say capitalism, I don't mean the capitalism that's being thrust down our throats. I mean true kind of capitalism where all people benefit. And that is a very well-proven point. In fact, if we wanted to get into discussion of private property rights, that is the key for wealth creation. That is the heart of the true capitalist system of governance, which we have drifted far from. But nonetheless, a lot of these third world nations are beginning to implement this, and their governments are seeing that if they sign on to this new Copenhagen Agreement, depending on how it's actually written, they could be losing more than they're getting because it would constrain their economy from growing and constrain them from actually improving their citizens' lot in life, as it were. And they are now starting to resist this idea because it is counterproductive. You have to understand that every dollar that's generated in the United States has its roots in energy. Understand that. There's a one-to-one relationship. If we reduce the amount of carbon emissions that we have, we reduce our economy. We have to. There's no other way we can do it unless we find an alternative source of energy. And in spite of all the rhetoric from our president, that's not going to happen in any near future. There is no other alternative. Even with the best and tremendous support by the federal government of, say, wind power or solar power and so forth, it would come at a huge cost, like 2 or 3 times the current cost of energy that the government would have to subsidize. And as a consequence, most of these nations realize that they cannot do that, and they are starting to oppose this. And the American taxpayer needs to be made aware of the fact that they're going to get hit right between the eyes. Like I said before, at least $3,000 a year is what it's going to cost us right off the bat by the year 2015, and it's only going to go up from there. It'll only get worse from that point on. It's a horribly expensive process, and it's not going to be possible with all these grandiose visions of alternative energy and so forth. The technology is just not there at this point, nor is there any really hope that it's going to be there for quite some time. I mean, I'm not going to eliminate everything out of the future. In 15 or 20 years, something may develop that would change this equation, but it's certainly not right now.
Do you or any of your colleagues, with their awareness of this concern over the falsity of this program being presented through the news, et cetera, plan to go into Washington when all of these countries are meeting there this coming month? I just wonder, is there any balance as they come? They're going to have Australia. We're going to go to a break, and I'll come back in a minute. I'll talk about those countries that we're inviting to our shore.
Within your reach, hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology.
In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt expert system has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
I feel like I'm going to hop on Yankee Doodle's horse and ride my way into Washington. I'm looking at this White House announcement from yesterday about the representatives from 16 nations being invited to the United States and their major economies, they're not calling them countries, major economies to a forum in April to discuss climate change and clean energy ventures. And from the White House, they're saying this, and I think this paragraph is very telling. April 27th and 28th, this event will take place. The meeting is in Washington, D.C. Now listen here. The April meeting is designed to culminate in a leaders' meeting on the sidelines of the G8 summit in July in La Maddalena, Italy. Ultimately, it aims to help negotiators reach an accord later in the year. What a nice setup. You get to come to Washington. The 16 countries that I was going to name, I'll go quickly. Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, the EU, France, Germany, India. And you think, oh, I guess it's EU. That's right there, like it says. Indonesia, Italy, Japan, South Korea, Mexico, Russia, South Africa, and the UK. Okay, so they're all coming, and there'll be pomp and ceremony. Who pays? And then they're working their way with a definite plan to take the steps to be ready. I would ask, is there any mechanism that those who aren't so happy about this idea could get some putty in government to plan a expose of the climate change story and have the balance and have it taxpayer funded. What's wrong with this? Why aren't we doing that?
Well, that's a very good question. First of all, having something like that taxpayer funded on our side of the issue is an impossibility. The government is now riddled with liberal bureaucrats, airheads, and other sundry things that would never, ever grant us money. In fact, they haven't. No matter what we try, the other side, the liberal side, gets billions and billions of dollars every single year. It's unbelievable how much money they get from the federal government. For us to get a $10 bill from the federal government is a miracle. And for us to be publicly funded to try to bring some truth into this whole equation is just not going to happen. It would have to be done by somebody publicly sponsoring this, some organization. We're not set up to do that, but other organizations are that are on the conservative side. We could provide them with all kinds of information that would be handed out and distributed doing that. But at this point, no one has picked up the ball. But what you're talking about, Barbara Jean, is ideal. It's really a great idea. If we had 50,000 people there, or even 20,000 people there protesting this meeting, it would send a very large signal around the world that there is now a growing number of people, not only scientists. The number of scientists that have switched over from man-caused or anthropogenic global warming to natural global warming has been phenomenal the last year and a half. There's been thousands of these scientists that once believed man was causing global warming that no longer believe that and are fighting this agenda tooth and nail because they know it's a fraud. They know it's a scandal. It's starting to drift down into the population. A number of polls have been taken recently to show that there is now over 40% of the American people adamantly do not believe that man is causing global warming. Now, that was up from about 20% just a couple of years ago. So there's been a lot of progress made, and this would be the ideal time, I think, for somebody to pick up the ball and to actually bring this into a demonstrable format that the news media would have to be carrying. Because if there's only 20 or 30 people there, it's better off not to have it. But if there are thousands of people there, they have to carry it.
I keep thinking of those people who have a lot of money. You know, T. Boone Pickens is one, and we hear him, and he's got some good ideas, and he's on his own doing something. I think of maybe basketball stars that get these incredible annual incomes. Or we know that most of Hollywood is going along with the global charge for global warming and climate change. But I keep thinking out there must be somebody that's just got lots of money and they'd like to help save this nation and say, hey, there are people that don't think climate change and all of this story is connected to emission credits or a new economy and sustainable development and all that stuff. Why don't you fund a little seminar and we'll take care of some information? You know, I'm always stunned and surprised that philanthropist doesn't seem to show.
I know. Well, one of the problems is that for every dollar that the conservative side has in wealth, the liberal side has in hundreds of dollars. It is really a very egregious differential between the two, and that's part of the reason. The other part of the reason is that a lot of the conservative money is going down to issues that I think are important, but they're not life-threatening like this issue is. You're talking about, we have on our globalwarmingclassroom.info website under the climate news a video clip from James Inhofe from Oklahoma, Senator Inhofe, who, it will blow your mind to watch that. We've condensed it down from 30 minutes down to about 12 minutes.
We'll go to break here, and we'll come back, and we'll pick up on James Inhofe and how come he knows what he knows.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
the new World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out. What then?
Then.
Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot,
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit Lee'sFountainOfYouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Returning to Born on the 4th of July, Dr. Kaufman, I've got a question, and maybe you won't be able to answer it. And after that, I have another question. Okay. How is this funded? Is it funded for all of these conventions and all of that? Is it through the EPA? Is it through the State Department? Those were my two concerns on setting up these conferences. You know, if you just have a little event that you plan on your own, you spend a lot of money. These things are top drawer and they're not staying at Motel 6. So how does this work? The funding for these activities that are taking place and moving forward on their agenda in many ways with a seclusion, without the proper press and exposure. And so often you'll hear that they've met, you'll hear that there's been a rally of dissent, but you don't hear or read the nitty-gritty. Eventually that can come to pass over the internet if you're industrious and look it up. But who's paying? How is it categorized in our stupid budget that is out of sight and Chinese money? How does it work?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how the April meeting is going to work because I haven't really dug into that. But almost all of these other meetings that are supposed to be international in flavor will be sponsored by the combination of the EPA, the State Department, perhaps the Department of Interior. Depends on the actual meeting. In this case, I'm sure the EPA is definitely involved. The Department of State is definitely involved. And you'll probably get support from the various foundations as well, that they'll be a contributing factor as well. Which ones is not quite sure. We're not quite sure yet. But at the same time, they will usually be one of the co-sponsors. They'll put in probably $1 for every $100 the government puts in. So you're probably talking mostly taxpayer-funded organizations, our meetings. And, you know, it's all planned beforehand. The outcome is already decided, and it's just a matter of making this big announcement with a flurry of media attention and so forth at the end to show that there's this big consensus, an international consensus, or whatever the meeting's designed to do, that shows that the government must do this, that, or the other thing in order to solve a particular problem. In this case, is global warming. And in this issue, it would be the stepping stone, as you mentioned earlier in the program, for getting this final agreement done in Copenhagen in December.
A couple of other questions I mentioned. I'm going to bring this one forward with a statement of awareness. Until about 1995, I was unaware of all of these little groups that were kind of like fraternities that were formed with, let's say, all the attorney generals across the 50 states, or the NCSL, the collection of state legislatures that had their little sorority or their fraternity type grouping, and certainly the governor's association and all of that.
And when county associations and that sort of thing.
I dug into that, and of course that's where a lot of our legislation is formulated, the camaraderie, decisions, agenda, and so forth. And so in a way, this is kind of operating in the same fashion. We have our Congress. We think it's Washington that's making the difference. But these things are nurtured on another track. And the ordinary American isn't aware of how this is going on, how many meetings there are. I thought that was so interesting, because they already knew that this was designed to culminate in a leaders' meeting at the next story that was going to be held in Italy in July, and they were going to help the negotiators have all this ready to go by that time. And how sweet it is, it's on your back, isn't it? That's where the money comes from.
Absolutely. It is. It definitely is. And what you don't recognize, what people fail to recognize, that every one of the, not everyone, I don't know if they all do, that's a pretty broad statement, but I do know the county associations, the governance associations, the city associations and so forth, in which you have your governors and your county commissioners and your city councilmen or mayors and so forth meeting, were all set up by the Rockefellers. Almost every single one of them are one of the other major foundations that are part of this global agenda. And they are controlled, basically, by those foundations. Now, it's a loose control. Understand, none of this stuff is lockstep. There's these conspiracy stories out there that, you know, you got this horde of leading officials around the world that are all in lockstep advancing this agenda. It's just not true. It's literally not true. There is tremendous amounts of competition. For instance, there's five major regions in the world that are competing for authority in the emerging global governance. You have Great Britain and the United States, the Anglo-American faction. You have the European faction, socialist faction of the rest of Europe, the Russian faction, the Chinese faction, the Arab faction, and all the rest. They're all vying for power, a seat at the table where they have power in this. They know what's going on. You may not know what's going on, but they know exactly what's going on. And they're all vying for power. The European socialist faction wants to be able to be in the top of the heap. They're not going to make it. It'll be the Anglo-American faction that controls the final thing, because they control the money supply. But the fact is that they're trying to measure, to be right at the very top, to be able to control the outcomes of this global governance that's being formed in the United Nations. None of this is ever reported in the media and so forth. And all of these associations that you see are basically designed and implemented and more or less controlled by the foundations or some of these governing agencies that are advancing this particular agenda. If you ask the typical mayor or governor if they're being controlled, they'll tell you no, they're not. But that's what they hear. You know, 90% of the decisions are made, has to be made on what you know. And if you're not hearing the other side of the story, you're going to be make, making decisions on the basis of what you are hearing. In the case of global warming, all we ever hear is this diatribe that man is causing global warming. We're within a few years of the tipping point that unless we get something going right now, it's going to be too late. The Earth is going to be destroyed and us along with it.
Well, it's really an extraordinary network and a plan. I can remember when in Salt Lake City we had a mayor woman just prior to the Olympic time frame, so people listening out there could know. Anyway, the Olympics were 2002 here in Utah, the Winter Olympics, so it would have been late 90s. Dee Dee Corradini, and I was attending a city council meeting, and they excused her attendance, her aide, as he sat in her spot, and said he was sitting in because she was attending a National Governors Association in Hawaii. Yeah. And I stood up and said, I would like a copy of the agenda for this Governors Association. Ladies and gentlemen, it was not easy to come by, but I finally got one. And I was so excited to get it because it told me what they were studying for their 3 days seminars and so forth. One of them was a seminar on Agenda 21.
Yes.
And so absolutely. I think that is an indicator of the schooling or mentoring of the mayors.
Oh, absolutely. And companion to that in the United States is the Sustainable America that Bill Clinton put together during his administration because it goes hand in glove with Agenda 21. It's the local or national implementation of Agenda 21 across America. And remember, every agency still is, even under the Bush administration, is focused. Their goal is on Sustainable America. Everything that they do, all the grants that they give out and so forth, has as its litmus test, as it were, Sustainable America. So their whole focus is on introducing sustainable development into every community, every city, every county, every state in the United States.
And of course, I hear people talk about sustainable this and sustainable that. And I think there's somebody named Gro Brundtland or something like that. With the United Nations, they hovered together for maybe it was the late 80s trying to figure out what would be a concept that they could market to do just what is being done.
Exactly. Gro Brundtland was responsible for the commission, the United Nations Commission on Global Governance. You know, I use these terms of global governance, and it sounds like some sort of conspiratorial type of language and so forth. It's not. It's accepted language within the international community. That's what the United Nations calls it. They'll talk about global governance. And Gro Brundtland, who was the Prime Minister of Norway at the time, was the head of this commission called the Commission on Global Governance, and they published a report in the mid-1990s that basically called for creating global governance around the world, the whole effort to get this implementation of all this legislation for global warming was one of the key components of that particular document. And so what we see is, again, it's just overwhelming the magnitude of what we can't fight this behemoth individually. We just can't do it. We've got to cut it off at the head and stop the funding of it and get congressmen and senators in there that will not even listen to what is being proposed at that level. And I am very strongly in favor of throwing every single one of them out of office in the next election.
Well, we have to do something drastic. As you brought that up, I recall global neighborhood governance. Along with that document, this is about 1995, 96, along with that document, they were proud to show you the traveling and the countries wherein this delegation would come and meet and the date and the time. They went all over the globe presenting global neighborhood governance. I remember seeing that Arlen Specter was part of the party that got to see it in Washington, and Hillary Clinton as well. And I'm just shocked by what I'm reading. It's laying it all out. They were even so bold as to say that at a certain time frame, and I can't remember the year, but they would no longer have to worry about the issue of sovereignty or nation state because the children would not have the hang-ups of their parents on these issues. I'm paraphrasing, but do you remember that clause in that document?
Oh, absolutely. Education is a big component of that document by basically putting Goals 2000 into our classrooms back in the 1990s. Begin to create the global citizen, where you're thinking about the global impacts of all these things, and we're not getting educated as to the Constitution, the fact that we're a republic, not a democracy, and ad nauseum, we can go on forever on this, but our kids are learning, having an education that de-emphasizes individualism, sovereignty, national sovereignty, and emphasizes national or global citizenship and the need for control at the global level of all of our industrial output and so forth.
I'd like to run away from all those concepts. You know, it's funny that people don't seem to readily just jump on the bandwagon and say enough is enough. But when we have had most of our industrial base just sent away, we're, you know, struggling in so many ways. Now we've got all of our money, and now we've got a president that's a CEO as well as the president of the United States. So, you know, companies and banks and whatever, they're all up for grabs by the government. Before we get too far, because we've got so many things to think about and I'm introducing other topics, I was wondering if you could help that listener out and about that says, give me 3, 4, or 5 key issues that shatter global climate change or global warming. Now, I know you say that we do have climate change, and that's a bit confusing because we used to be more concerned about global warming. End result, though, we're worried about economics and carbon footprints and emission credits. How can you give someone a 2 or 3 bullet points that they can remember and maybe put to use?
Well, one of the things that I think really is important, And what you're talking about, Barbara Jean, is the major thing. Whenever you're talking about to someone, you need to stick to 2 or 3, or no more than 5, because you can't remember them. Major points that you need to focus on and help people understand what is going on. And I'm working on now a series of hooks, as they're called in the media, as to how to get people's attention and so forth. And The things that we need to recognize, there's 3 primary things: that carbon dioxide, atmospheric carbon dioxide, is a result of temperature, not the cause of temperature. And these DVDs go into that very clearly, totally debunking what Al Gore is saying. I mean, there's no question about it. You can see it for yourself visually in the graphics and so forth. That carbon dioxide is a result of temperature change on Earth, not the cause of temperature change on Earth. The second thing that we need to recognize is that the global climate models, that is really the backbone of the whole theory that we have, anthropogenic or man-caused global warming, is false. There is now hard evidence, and those are in the second DVD, the Emerging Science DVD. Is not in the first. It's so new, it's not in the first one, which is about a little over a year old. That the science has now conclusively shown that the very premise that these models are based on is incorrect. It just has not been happening that way. It cannot be man-caused global warming. From a pure physics standpoint, cannot be man-caused global warming. So the climate models themselves are based on an incorrect assumption and would reduce by well over half of the projected warming if they were changed to reflect what's been shown in the last year, year and a half. The third thing is, and one of the things that I always like to talk about, is that carbon dioxide is not a pollutant in any way, shape, or form. It's a miracle gas. Life on Earth could not exist without it. Every plant that lives out in the ecosystems of the world requires carbon dioxide as the basic food-building chemical that it takes in from the atmosphere. Without carbon dioxide, it cannot have photosynthesis. Photosynthesis depends on carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide in the atmosphere today is carbon dioxide poor. Our plants are carbon dioxide starved. And as a result, every time you introduce more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, our plants grow better. Ecosystems are healthier. And more important, food production for humans goes up. In fact, it's already been shown very clearly by carbon dioxide scientists that since the 1950s, food production of the world has gone up by 12%, and is expected to go up to 25 to 50% over the next 100 years. Carbon dioxide acts like a fertilizer. It enhances food crop production tremendously. And this is true for all third world nations. It's true for every farmer in the world. No matter how much money they have, this is free fertilizer. They're growing more crops to feed their people for no cost whatsoever. And for the United States Supreme Court and the EPA to call carbon dioxide a pollutant is criminal.
We'll go to break and we'll pick it up there. Supreme Court and designation CO2 a pollutant. We'll be right back.
Let's go to the heart of the matter. Life Change Tea has had some commercials that are not appealing to those who live in denial. Maybe we are to believe there are no parasites in the world, and that having a clogged colon is good for you, that being overweight is absolutely healthy, that there are no unhealthy chemicals in the air, and last but not least, fluoride in your water is good for you. Not. Get the tea. Change your body and life from unhealthy to healthy. Order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea, the tea that changes how you feel.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. Hempusa.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay. Call today, 908-691-2608. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Welcome back. We have Ed in Canada. I say welcome. You're on with Dr. Michael Kaufman.
I just wanted to mention a couple things about climate change. People don't pay enough attention to history. If they looked at the history of Greenland, they would find out that in about 900, it was settled by people from Iceland who had to leave about 1450 because it got too cold. And it's been ice-covered land ever since, but it started to thaw out a couple years ago, and there were buildings showing that had been built back in the 1400s. And then following the 1400s, Britain had what they called the Little Ice Age, where temperatures plummeted, the rivers froze, And most of the trees that were cut down during that era to feed their fires.
Those are very, very good, astute observations, and those are in both of our DVDs, the Little Ice Age, the Medieval Optimum, and Greenland especially. We really highlight the issue of Greenland because that's really kind of an interest to students, we think. The fact that they were growing crops and so forth back in the 1200 to 1300 period and disappeared, as you said, around 1400 to 1450 completely off the island because of climate change. It got cold, much colder. And we have been warming up from the Little Ice Age since about 1850. And so the warming that we've experienced in the 20th century is completely natural. It's what we would expect because the medieval warming period that occurred around 1200, it peaked about 1200 A.D., was about 2 degrees warmer than it is right now. And so we can expect to continue to see increased temperatures. But it's not due to carbon dioxide. It's not due to man-made emissions of carbon dioxide. It's due to natural cycles and solar activity as it affects our ocean currents and so forth. That's what's causing the climate change.
Did you also find the world's oldest known watermark, water level?
In
Tasmania?
Right. For some reason, I can't pronounce it. Yes, I don't have that in the DVDs, but I do have written articles about it, have pictures of it and so forth, showing that at least in that part of the ocean, the water level has declined about 6 or 8 inches over the last, 200 years been there?
And then these liars have been trying to say it's not telling the truth because the land mass has moved.
Right, I know.
What was the country again, Ed? What was the name of the location?
It's called the Isle of the Dead in Tasmania.
Tasmania.
Right. Yeah, it used to be a penal colony.
Oh.
That's why.
And why are you so up on these issues? Appreciate your input.
Well, I have been watching, I guess what you would call conspiracy theory for about 30 years, and I've been following all these things. And in fact, I live in a city here where a large amount of history has happened. I'm in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And it is almost in the middle of nowhere, but there are some important things that have happened here that affect the world, including what happens in the United States. And also we've had politicians in Canada who have greatly affected things as well. One of the organizers of the Rio Conference, where all this stuff was plotted back in 1990, is a Canadian named Maurice Strong. And,
Indeed. Well, we'll pick this up. I can hear music in the background, I think. Do I hear the music?
Yes, I do.
Ed, we'd love to hear from you again. Thank you. And Dr. Kaufman, we'll have you on again real soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With recent